He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Debilitating anxiety, panic attacks. You feel like you're going to die, the heart rate, and different. It's just like, oh, I can't function. Well, when I start with their diet, it's pretty revealing. Do you know that 500 milligrams of caffeine actually lists that in the Diagnostic Mental Book for Disorders? That over 500, you start to experience psychological issues? Well, I know it's convicting. I didn't say I was coming to tickle your ears. This is the truth. And so why don't we look at those issues? And then people get off and they feel so much better. These things have lifted.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Something Has to Break, and is part three in our ongoing series, Don't Demonize the Demonized. Mark 9:28 says that certain kinds of evil spirits can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Often, spiritual pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. Join us today for a message of strength and encouragement from Pastor Shane as he explains how we may resist the attacks of Satan today and fight the good fight of the faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
Something has to break. And I love those lyrics. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right, because something has to break when you have your way. When God has his way, something has to break. And how many of us have been praying through things and for things to break out of our lives? Personal confession, sugar has got me. This morning, I don't know why, it's craving and things, but on a bigger scale, of course, things have got to break. We've been struggling for years. Sometimes things don't happen right away. Maybe praying for something. Lord, something has to break in my family. Something has to break in my marriage. Something has to break in my heart. Lord, something has to break. Teenager, young adult, maybe you're older and up there in years. I'm getting there, so I can say that, I guess. But there's things that we pray, Lord, take this away. Whether it's fear, anxiety, whether it's a difficult marriage, prodigal son. I mean, how long is the list? Lord, something has to break. And we've seen it next door in the prayer room, even pastoring for the length of time that I have, is that God will and can often deliver and set people free and get the wrong thing right immediately. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And those are the times we have to persevere. We have to keep fighting. God never promised us a bed of roses. It's warfare. The Christian life is warfare. And probably one of the most frustrating things, probably in 20 years since I've came back to the Lord, daily, is praying for the direction of our nation. And God has given me that heart for that, for revival. And instead of getting better, I mean, if I look at, even when I was reading, going back in America's history, the top, in the 1970s, the top three problems in public schools, chewing gum, making noise. You don't want to know what they are today. Rape, robbery, assault lead the list. And I get very discouraged, but I have to encourage myself in the Lord. Because there might not be a place where our nation turns to God. It might just be remnants of people. And God bringing revival. And not trusting in a political party or in a person, but in trusting in God Almighty. And God used November to break a lot of people and humble a lot of people. And it's in that humility and in that brokenness that we keep fighting and keep persevering. But I will tell you this, sometimes it is a very good benefit when God doesn't break something immediately, because that keeps us at the foot of the cross. That keeps us relying on Jesus. How many of you pray better when things are going in a bad direction or when things are difficult? Your prayer life is dramatically affected when you're going through those difficult times. And I look back on my life, I would never take those things again, but looking back, I see how God used them to break me. So when we say something has to break, sometimes it's not the problem. Sometimes the problem is used to break us. And maybe the sooner some of you get to realizing that, the sooner you will have a breakthrough. Because instead of repenting and changing, God will allow that pressure to be put on us. Arthur Wallace said that spiritual pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. And I've pondered that a lot over the years because I read it in his book on fasting. And this whole chapter gets the crescendo at the end is the verse that a lot of people talk about. This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And that's actually going to be next week. The title of the message next week is Locked and Loaded. And I hope you're ready. I hope you're here. But I started to work on that one, and God just began to downpour this into my heart. And that's how it works for sermon preparation. And I'm a little bit different. I don't sometimes have to sit down. I do, but sometimes I just start writing all these points, all these thoughts, and I have to put them in order, scriptures, and then that's the sermon. And, of course, I pull in studies and commentaries and things like that. But when it's pressured on my heart and when I'm feeling it, more often than not, you're going to feel it. And that's how God often does it. He puts the fire in my heart to get the fire out there going. But isn't that true? Pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. Pressure. Even when Daniel prayed, the Bible says that the angel said, I heard you the first day, but the king of Persia, this principality, withheld me, and I couldn't get to you until now. Now try figuring that one out. But we do know that it's in the Bible. We do know that there is spiritual ramifications. There is spiritual pressure that has to be applied. And even, I'm amazed at this fact. And every time I read about the story of David, he was called and anointed by God. But it did not come without a fight. The Bible says the war between Saul and David was long, but David got stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's how it can work in your life as well. The war is hard, but you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And how long did it take for the children of Israel to go into the promised land and claim their promise? God said, I'm giving you this land. Did it take a couple weeks? No. I thought God said you can have the promised land. Here it is, go into it. Eat of the vineyards and the land, and it's all yours. A month? Well, 40 years of wandering, and many years. I know there's at least 7 years, and then Joshua, there was still land to conquer. Many, many years of here's this promise. So it's almost like God gives us something, and then you got to fight for it. And I want to encourage you this morning that sometimes the wall comes right down like Jericho, but sometimes it comes down brick by brick by brick. And I saw this a lot in construction. Sometimes I would be able to rent a huge excavator with a breaking bar on the end of it. Have you seen those? And I could just knock down the whole wall in the back area really quickly. But sometimes you couldn't get equipment back there. So what do we have to bring? All day, which should have took 10 minutes. What's the difference? Well, different situation, brick by brick by brick. And same thing in your lives as well, as you're fighting. Always remember that. Never give up, because God will have the final say. We don't know what that victory looks like. on this side of heaven. Sometimes people die. And but Shane, I thought I had this, I thought God was going to do this, and then they get disgruntled and discouraged because God didn't do what they thought he was going to do. And let me just tell you this up front. Just trust in his sovereignty, not in your situations or how you want things done, because his sovereignty will always prevail. So Mark 9, 14, Jesus saw that the scribes were arguing with the disciples. That's the image we have here. So the scribes, who are the religious leaders, they would take down the scripture, they would record notes and different things on the Sanhedrin, and when they would meet, they were the scribes, but they are also the religious leaders. So now they're arguing with the disciples. So Jesus sees that, and he says, "What are you discussing?" Then one in the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." So Jesus wasn't there. The man brought him to the disciples. You know, I'm kind of filling in the blanks here. And we do that when we're preaching, right? We kind of fill in the blanks. That's why some of you shouldn't be too hard on the movie, the series, The Chosen. They're filling in the blanks, right? It's not off doctrinally. They're just filling in the blanks. And I can imagine that disciples say, "I got this. We got this. Jesus has showed us before. We know how to cast out demons. We've been doing this before. We've got this." And I don't know if pride got in the way and God humbled them. I mean, it's up to the imagination. But we do know that they were arguing. The scribes were arguing with the disciples. And I picture there was some possible mocking going on. "Where's this Jesus you spoke about? Where's this power? Where's this authority that you spoke about?" And mocking them about following Jesus. "Look, he's still sick. He's still an epileptic. And why can't you heal this boy? I thought you said you could." And I'm pretty sure that's what they were arguing about. And so we see that there was possible mocking. Can anyone relate? If you're not mocked for following Jesus, I don't know if you're following Jesus. Let me say that again. If you're not ridiculed to some degree, mocked to some degree, are you truly following Jesus? Now, you don't go out and look for trouble. For example, I don't go out and look for trouble preaching. It just comes. This gets shared on YouTube and Rumble and Twitter and Facebook, and it just comes. The mocking, the jeering. There's a whole Facebook page dedicating to slamming me. "Where's this Jesus?" Mocking God. And so I can picture this father, I'm sure many of you, what about the desperation, the frustration? You've ever had a child that's sick? There's nothing worse than that. Your child is sick. And especially, Matthew records it's epileptic seizures is how the King James translates the word that they're using. And it's that the boy would just convulse, and the father was worried because he would be thrown into the water, thrown into the fire. And there's something about when it's happening to your children from when they were young. And so I can see in this man's heart, something has to break. I don't think he was just having a casual chat. I think he's saying, "Jesus, something has to break. God, I brought them to your disciples, but they could do nothing. Oh God, would you help me?" And in the desperation and the cry of a father, Jesus begins to listen. God may ruin your schedule to repair your heart. God might ruin your schedule to repair your heart. Matthew 17 is a cross reference. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic." And most of you know what that is, but it's electrical discharges in the brain that are off. They're sending the wrong signal, so the body convulses. It can't control itself. And it would happen sometimes sporadically. Now, this is interesting. I didn't spend too much time at the stadium last night on this. You can open up a can of worms, but I'll open it with you. How's that? More and more as I'm in this series on demonology, I'm realizing, I wonder how often we rule out the demonic. I mean, we don't, and most of us who are conservative, you know, it's an interesting topic. We've seen some weird stuff before, and we kind of just, whatever. But Jesus, it's clear here that this demon was causing mental illness. The demon was causing physical illness in the lady that was bent over. She's walking like this, and Jesus says, why should this daughter of Abram be bound by Satan? Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmities. He cast out the demon. The men in the tombs being tormented. Have you ever been tormented? Maybe some listening have, and that's probably why they're not here. They don't go out much. There's a tormenting. They're hearing voices and they're being tormented. And I talked in the first series or the first message a couple weeks ago. You can go back and listen about. I don't believe Christians can be possessed. The Bible actually doesn't use the word possessed. It uses the word demonized. And I'm wondering how much Christians are demonized. I actually met a lady. Oh, baptized her last night at the stadium, and just came out of Satanism 4 years ago. And when you talk to somebody and you know they know what they're talking about, and she said, Shane, that demonic realm is real. That spiritual realm is real. Let me tell you, things that would make your blood curdle. It was just amazing what she went through. And she said, after she became a Christian, it was amazing. But still needed deliverance because of the stronghold of the occult in her life. And she was just, as a Christian, but Lord, why am I struggling? What's going on? And I can't have this. I'm a Christian. But opening up to witchcraft and the occult and black magic, there's some deep-rooted issues there. And finally, someone was able to pray with her, and the deliverance took some time. And she said, my body manifested, and I was released, though. It felt like this came out of me. It was incredible. And I don't quite understand how this all works, to be honest with you. Don't let any pastor tell you they've got perfect theology. Run to another church. One believes in the rapture, another one doesn't. One believes in this, another one doesn't. One believes in, you know, as long as we agree on the essentials, that's the key. But in this area of demonology, you can get too far to the left where it's too much about demons. Demon under every rock, you're upset, you need to be delivered of anger. You've got Leviathan on you. You've got Jezebel spirit, and it's all about the demons. But then the other side, well, I kind of camp out sometimes, is I don't want to talk about the demons. I don't want to deal with it. Let's just discipline ourselves. Let's just follow the word. And come on, can they just stay away from me? But as Jack Hayford said, you can't discipline a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. You have to discern what is going on. And I just truly believe, I think there's a lot more demonic activity going on in the lives of people than they realize. For example, why don't we consider this option when there is mental illness or physical illness or any other types of situation? Why don't we go to God in prayer and fasting and discernment and find out? Because a gift of the Spirit is discerning of spirits, to discern what is going on. And it's hard because people ask me, you know, quite often if I'm against medication when I teach on things like this. And I'm not against medication. I'm not against things that work. For example, you heard me talk recently about serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You know that if somebody has a nervous breakdown and their serotonin levels are depleted, their adrenal glands are fatigued, and something is going to help boost that in a good way. But there's also natural remedies, GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, something called 5-HTP. I think it's hydro. Tryptophan, and there's things naturally that do that as well. So my thought is always, don't run to Xanax, run to the scriptures. What is God's word saying to you? Because we want to medicate everything nowadays. I've even talked to my doctor about this, and he agrees, praise God. Why when someone comes in with diabetes and high blood pressure and all these things, you just give them a pill? Why don't you get to the root problem? Do you know type 2 diabetes is diet-related? Diet related? So why not get to the root, fix the problem, and then experience health? Because taking insulin is not going to fix it long term. Actually, most diabetics get worse and worse and worse and worse. Same with heart disease or high blood pressure. Oh, I'm taking this pill. I've got this Coumadin to thin my blood. Well, I can get you off of that in good shape if you just follow what God's word says. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a need for that sometime. But why do we always run to that? Always run to these situations. And it look online, Xanax has just skyrocketed since COVID. And while you're there, type in side effects of Xanax or coming off of it. It's worse than the problem. And so we're medicating, and we're medicating, and we're medicating, and we're medicating, and we're never experiencing freedom. And we have to be careful in the area of medication because it does come from the word pharmacy comes from, it's not a good word. It has to do with magic and witchcraft and things like that. Now, I'm not saying if you walk into a pharmacy or get medication, that is the case. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful that we don't run, we're not running to Christ instead of all these other things. We have to get to the root problem of what's going on. So no, I'm not against medication if it's a last resort, not a first resort. And if somebody truly needs it, they've sought God and they know, hey, this is something God's put on my heart. I think it's going to help in this area. Then by all means, look into that. But also look into the side effects. Look at what's really causing it. Do you know how many people, I've over the years, I have a background in health and fitness, many of you know, but I've talked to, it's up there in the hundreds and hundreds of people dealing with anxiety. Have you ever had that? Debilitating anxiety, panic attacks? It's like, you feel like you're going to die, the heart rate, and different, it's just like, oh, I can't function. Well, when I start with their diet, it's pretty revealing. I get up and I have a Venti. What, did you know that 500 milligrams of caffeine actually lists that in the mental book for disorders? That over 500, you start to experience psychological issues? Why not look at what we're consuming? Look at what, well, I know it's convicting. I didn't say I was coming to tickle your ears. This is the truth. This is the truth. And so why don't we look at those issues? And then people get off of that, getting off of its hell. But they get off and they feel so much better. These things have lifted. Or you look at their mental diet. Oh, but Shane, I just love horror movies. Well, your flesh might, but that's what's causing a lot of this. I would be scared too if I'm watching all this garbage out there. And so we have to look first at our spiritual diet, at our physical diet. Look at what we're feeding. Look at what we're allowing into our body. And a lot of things that we struggle with serotonin or mental disorders or challenges. If you're not getting enough vitamins, minerals, D and K and E and vitamin C and all these things in good God-given food, it actually causes these things. Just do your research. Don't take my word for it. And when people get back on the track physically, they feel tremendous. So it doesn't always fix the problem. Usually it complicates it. But we should not rule out the demonic because of pride. Pride.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.